Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in Old Testament history, had some great successes and some great failures. The passage we hear today is after one of the great failures. He's depressed. He's disappointed in himself. He says, I'm no better than any of my fathers. He had thought that he was leading Israel into holiness, and instead he was leading them into sin. Not that he was taking the whole burden on himself, but a lot of it, and so it caused depression. And sometimes when we get depressed, we eat. Sometimes when we get depressed, we don't eat. This is one of those kinds of depressions where he had no appetite. He prayed for death. When you are so depressed that you want to die, you don't eat. This is the situation he's in. It's really more than depression. It's despair. It's the loss of hope. And he had begun a journey back to the source, back to the mountain of God, Horeb, which is another word for Sinai. This is where Moses encountered God and Judaism began. Going back to the source to try to regroup and to find out what went wrong. But on the way, he loses hope and he prays for death. He's given up even that project. And so an angel comes and wakes him and says, eat. And so he eats a little something and then he goes back to sleep again and he gets wakened again. Eat, lest the journey will be too long for you. And then he walks on that nourishment 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, we all know the meaning of 40. 40 years is a biblical lifetime. It took 40 years to get from Sinai to Israel. Now in 40 days, he's going to walk back to the source. He's going to start all over again. He regroups his mission. He gets recommissioned by God there on Mount Horeb, and he comes back and continues his mission to Israel. Well, we're all on a pilgrimage journey. Journey is kind of one of the themes of the Old Testament. We're wandering in the wilderness called this world. We are on our way to something better, something more real than what we encounter here. But we need nourishment for that journey because it's a lifelong journey. It isn't 40 days. It's a lifelong journey. And we can't do it without nourishment, okay? Jesus in the gospel is talking about being the bread of life come down from heaven to nourish us on that journey. The nourishment that we need is Eucharist. But it's more than just what we do here at Mass. Eucharist is bigger than that. It's being angels for one another. It's being messengers from God for one another. We come here to regroup. We go back to the source, don't we? We recall, we remember in a sacred way the founding events of our Christian faith, the death and resurrection of Christ. We recall that at this altar. So every liturgy is a going back to the source. And we go back to the source so that in that we might be re-nourished, regrouped, like Elijah was, to stay on the journey, to have the strength and the fortitude to keep going until we get there. But also, that nourishment makes us Eucharist. That makes us angels, bread of life for one another. Who are the angels in our lives? It was our parents and grandparents. It was our pastors. It was our teachers. It was our friends. In the novel To Kill a Mockingbird, the narrator is the little girl. And she says in one of the opening lines of the book, neighbors bring food with death. They bring flowers with sickness and other little things in between. Kind of a childlike way of saying it, but it's a profound truth, isn't it? When someone is suffering a great loss, it's just vitally important to know that there are neighbors who would bring food, who would nourish them, who would sustain them in their journey of grief. When someone is sick, or when someone has a family member who is critically ill, it helps that neighbors are there to walk the journey with them. In the rite of funerals, there's a journey envisioned, and so there are a number of rites. The first rite is prayers at the time of death. And the priest, a deacon, other members of the church could be there with them. And there's even a little ritual that they can use so that the journey of grief is accompanied by the church all the way through. And then there's gathering in the presence of the body after the embalmment. And then there's prayers at the transferal of the body from the funeral home to the church. And then there's the vigil. And then the next day there's the funeral liturgy. And then finally there's the rite of committal at the grave. The idea is that the church, the body of Christ, is accompanying this family in their journey of grief so that they know they are not alone. We need to have our eyes opened to the needs around us so that we can be Eucharist to one another, so that we can be nourishment for one another on this journey, this pilgrimage of faith that leads us eventually to the kingdom. One of the miracles about Eucharist is that the vastness, the infinity of God's love gets brought down to a very practical, physical level in the bread and wine. This is a miracle of faith. We just have to believe this, that the particularity of this bread and this wine holds the infinity of divine love. They're scandalized by Jesus in his particularity. This Jesus of Nazareth, this ordinary person whose parents we know, who comes from among us, how can he say he came down from heaven? How can he say that the infinity of God can be in his body? It's a scandal. And he says, that's exactly what's happening in front of you. I am the bread of life. I am the bread come down from heaven for someone to eat and never die. Our belief in eternal life, our hope on this journey to that life, to that kingdom, is sustained by the particularity of consecrated bread and wine, by the particularity of this body standing before you, by the particularity of each of you in your physicalness, in your humanness, ministering to one another, evangelizing the world, the particularity of this, the audacity for us to stand here and say that we hold that mystery within our bodies. How can we say that? Only with grace. Only because Jesus said so. Not because we're worthy, not because of anything we've done or failed to do, just because God says so. Because God has destined us to be his sons and daughters. God has destined us to be brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus, to be Eucharist for one another and for the world.